ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text Number 18, Chapter entitled The Prayers by the Demigods.
Tataha Tato Jagan Mangalam Achyutam Sham Samayitam Shurastena Devi दधार सर्वात्मकं आत्मभूता काष्ठायतानंदकरं मनस्तः
Translation: Thereafter, accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki. Devaki, having thus been initiated by Vasudev, became beautiful by carrying Lord Krishna, the original consciousness for everyone, the cause of all causes, within the core of her heart, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As indicated by the word manastaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was transferred from the core of Vasudeva's mind or heart to the core of the heart of Devaki. We should note carefully that the Lord was transferred to Devaki not by the ordinary way for a human being, but by diksha, initiation. Thus, the importance of initiation is mentioned here. Unless one is initiated by the right person who always carries within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of one's own heart. The word Achyutamsham is used because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Shad Aishwarya Purna, full in the opulences of wealth, strength, fame, knowledge, beauty and renunciation. The Supreme Godhead is never separated from His personal opulences. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.39, Ramadi Murtishu Kalanyamena Tishthan. The Lord is always situated with all His plenary expansions such as Rama, Narsimha and Varaha. Therefore, the word Achyutamsham is specifically used here, signifying that the Lord is always present with His plenary expansions and opulences. There is no need to think of the Lord artificially as yogis do. Dhyana Vastita Tat Gatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 13, Text Number 1. Yogis meditate upon the Supreme Person within the mind. For a devotee, however, the Lord is present, and His presence need only be awakened through initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. The Lord did not need to live within the womb of Devaki, for His presence within the core of her heart was sufficient to carry Him. One is here forbidden to think that Krishna was begotten by Vasudeva within the womb of Devaki and that she carried the child within her womb. When Vasudeva was sustaining the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, he appeared just like the glowing sun whose shining rays are always unbearable and scorching to the common man. The form of the Lord situated in the pure unalloyed heart of Vasudeva is non-different from the original form of Krishna. The appearance of the form of Krishna anywhere and specifically within the heart is called Dhamma. Dham refers not only to Krishna's form, but His name, His form, His quality and His paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. Thus, the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full potencies was transferred from the mind of Vasudev to the mind of Devaki, exactly as the setting sun's rays are transferred to the full moon rising in the east. Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, entered the body of Devaki from the body of Vasudev. He was beyond the conditions of the ordinary living entity. When Krishna is there, it is to be understood that all plenary expansions such as Narayan and incarnations like Lord Narasimha and Varaha are with him, and they are not subject to the conditions of material existence. In this way, Devaki became the residence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second and a cause of all creations. Devaki became the residence of the Absolute Truth. But because she was within the house of Kamsa, she looked just like a suppressed fire or like misused education. When fire is covered by the walls of a pot or is kept in a jug, the illuminating rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. Similarly, misused knowledge which does not benefit the people in general is not very much appreciated. So Devaki was kept within the prison walls of Kamsa's palace, and no one could see her transcendental beauty which resulted from her conceiving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Commenting upon this verse, Sri Viraragarva Acharya writes, Vasudeva Devaki Yatha Rayor Ridayor Bhagavata Sambandha. The Supreme Lord's entrance into the womb of Devaki from the heart of Vasudev was a heart-to-heart relationship. So we have come to the stage where Krishna has appeared at the heart of Devaki and is going to come out in some few moments' time. Now Prabhupada here makes very wonderful statements. It's a long purport actually. He emphasizes the importance of initiation here. Says how Prabhupada mentions here that unless one is initiated by the right person who carries within his heart the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot acquire the power to carry the Supreme Godhead within the core of one's heart. So Prabhupada always finds an opportunity to just instruct us in the various philosophical aspects. So this particular instance is where the Lord has appeared in Vasudeva's heart and is transferred from Vasudeva's heart or mind into the Devaki's heart. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, it's unlike the ordinary way that a child is born, that Krishna doesn't appear like that. For a normal process, somebody has to engage in that particular act. Then the child grows in the womb of the mother and then she delivers, the child is born. But the Lord doesn't come out like that. The Lord doesn't need a father or mother to take birth. When Lord Narasimhadev had to appear, he came out of the pillar. When Varahadev had to appear, he came out of the nostril of Lord Brahma. So, for the Lord, he doesn't need to have or take a birth from a womb to appear. And here we find that directly from Vasudeva's heart to Devaki's heart, the Lord comes and then slowly is going to come out of the body and then appear in a 400 form. And here Srila Prabhupada mentioned about the initiation aspect and says that how bhakti can be transferred only from a person who has that to someone else. Like unless and until one associates or one hears from a source who carries Krishna within his heart. So the song is there. Amito kangala Krishna Krishna bole dhai tava pache pache. Krishna se tumara Krishna tite paro. Tumara shakti ache. Krishna se tumara. Krishna is yours. You can only give Krishna. Tumara shakti ache. You have that power to give Krishna. Amito kangala Krishna Krishna bole dhai tava pache pache. So that's the way that one can receive Krishna. In fact, one cannot enter it or one cannot engage in devotional service unless until one has the mercy of a Vaishnava. Unless until you have a touch of a Vaishnava in your life, you cannot actually engage in devotional service. Very difficult for someone to do that. That's the reason Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas emphasized that whom one should hear from also. You know, somebody who is a professional reciter, you hear from him, it will not purify your heart. But someone who is completely immersed in devotional service, has love for Krishna, only that person can give you Krishna. Only that person can make you engage in Krishna's service. And that is what is, you know, actually initiation. What is initiation? Initiation is nothing but just that your process in devotional service begins. We are all talking on the subtle platform, actually. Everything else, everything may appear to be just like any other aspect. But only when you receive the Harinam from a bona fide spiritual master and when you chant, then that has some effect. Just like we perform deity worship, now we chant those mantras. But when you chant those mantras, you know, in what consciousness are those chanting? Mantras are chanted. Now, someone may not be qualified enough to chant those mantras. But then because they have been received from the authorities or you are doing it on behalf of your spiritual master, then those chanting of the mantras has some effect. Otherwise, the chanting of the mantra will not have any effect at all. When you're chanting of the beads also, when you're chanting of the beads, these are beads given by the spiritual master at time of initiation. And when you are conscious of the fact that you have received it from someone who has Krishna in his heart, definitely for sure you are going to receive Krishna when you are going to experience Krishna in your heart when you are chanting. Or whatever activities you do. In fact, whatever activities you do, in fact, it's not that we are doing something. It's just that we have been asked to do, we are doing it. So we cannot be proud about those activities which you are performing, in fact. Whatever we do in spiritual life, we cannot boast about it. Because if you see, why are we here? Because somebody else has preached to us. Somebody else has asked us to take Krishna's name and that's why we are here. We are engaging devotional service because somebody else is asking us to perform devotional service. So we are here performing devotional service. Otherwise, what is our capacity to perform? We have no qualification to perform. We have no qualification to enter directly onto the altar also. And directly dress the deities. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj in his deity worship lectures, he was mentioning that if you are not conscious of the fact that you are doing it on behalf of a spiritual master, then everything will be just like a ritual. You will understand that it is just something but nothing but an, you know, a piece of stone on the altar. But then when you are there and we understand that, you know, this is what deities are here, I am just dressing on behalf of the spiritual master. Then your services will be accepted. He says otherwise in the spiritual world, the service for Radha and Krishna is going on. Whether you offer him nice bhoga or you offer him anything, you know, it doesn't matter. If you don't offer him also, the services will just go on in the spiritual world. He says the spiritual master is offering, his spiritual master is offering, like that the whole acharyas are offering in the spiritual world, the gopis, the manjaris, all are wonderfully offering the Lord various aspects. But what is really important is the consciousness to understand the fact that ultimately you are doing it on behalf of the spiritual master. You have been given an opportunity to do this direct service. And by serving, you come to the platform of understanding the importance of taking shelter of the holy names. And then understanding the gravity of the whole thing. So here, Srila Prabhupada is very nicely mentioning, again in the second paragraph he is saying that for a devotee, the Lord is present and his presence need to be only awakened through initiation by a bona fide spiritual master. And Prabhupada is emphasizing that how when Krishna came here, Achyutamsham, he came with all his plenary expansions. So, you know, Narsingha, Varaha, they all were there in his personality. So he's mentioning that yogis meditate upon Supreme Person. There's no need to think of Lord artificially, he says. But just carrying Krishna within your heart, you actually carry all the personalities from within your heart. You know? That's the reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned, Namna Makari Bhavata Nija Sarva Shakti. But he says, I am so unfortunate, you know, I'm not getting a taste to chant those names. tatrarpita niyamita smarane nakala. You can chant the holy names anywhere, but I am so unfortunate, I am not able to chant. But just understanding that, you know, Krishna is in the name. In fact, when we chant the holy names of Krishna, Krishna is actually dancing on a tongue. Prabhupada in the third paragraph is mentioning about dham. He says that the appearance of Krishna in the form anywhere and especially within the heart is called dham. And it not only refers to Krishna's form, but it also refers to his name, his form, quality and his paraphernalia. Everything becomes manifest simultaneously. So that's the power of chanting the holy names. So when somebody chants the holy names, what happens is that, you know, one has to be aware that all these things are simultaneously appearing. You are actually chanting the names, the Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's paraphernalia, everything is there manifested simultaneously. So this comes only when one is sincere enough to accept initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, understand the gravity of the situation, accept it with gratefulness and chant. And then Srila Prabhupada in the last paragraph of this purport is mentioning that how the Lord is present in the heart of Devaki and because of which she is illumined completely. Unfortunately, but because she is imprisoned in the cell of Kamsa, the whole world is not able to understand that the Lord has appeared. So Prabhupada gives an example that how when fire is covered by the walls of a pot and is kept in a jug, the illumined rays of the fire cannot be very much appreciated. So here, Devaki was in the prison cell of Kamsa. The Lord has appeared. The demigods are offering prayers to the Lord within the womb because they know that Devaki has appeared. The Lord has appeared in Devaki's womb because Devaki is completely illumined. She becomes completely effulgent by the presence of the Lord within the womb. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when a devotee sincerely serves Krishna and carries Krishna in his heart, he naturally becomes effulgent. And that we see also, that when somebody comes to a temple, takes shelter of the holy names, takes shelter of Krishna's this devotional process, wears nice tilak, dhoti, kurta and serves Krishna, then they appear very effulgent. And Prabhupada elsewhere in a purport mentioned it appeared that they are coming from Vaikuntha Loka. You know, the devotees naturally look very effulgent. Just wearing tilak, dhoti, kurta and, you know, chanting and by serving Krishna, they naturally become effulgent. To the extent somebody is serious about devotion, to that extent that person appears effulgent. You know, like during Srila Prabhupada's time, you know, somebody would just get attracted to Srila Prabhupada by just him drinking a glass of water. Elsewhere, we heard that Prabhupada just spits out an orange seed into the dustbin and seeing that, you know, somebody gets something completely enamored. Why? Because that person, you know, is so effulgent just because he carries Krishna within his heart. And then whatever he does, whatever his mere presence attracts a person. His mere presence attracts each and everyone around him. Sometimes he need not have to speak also. Just his presence only makes him, you know, effulgent. You feel to be like him. You want to be close to that person. You want to associate with that person because the person looks effulgent. You know, externally he may look very dark. He may not look attractive. But then when you look at him, you can see that glow is there. Why? Because the person is carrying Krishna in his heart. Just like here, Devaki is carrying Krishna in her heart, so she is very effulgent. So here, Prabhupada is mentioning that how, but because just like a fire is covered by a pot, the illuminating rays or effect of the fire is not being appreciated by the people. So that's what is the situation. Today is the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and I thought I'll just speak something. How long can we go, Prabhuji? It's 9:15. Is it 9:15 only? Till that time? I don't know. I just, because fasting till noon, so. today happens to be appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. To be very frank, from the core of my heart, I just sincerely want to express that I am not qualified to be sitting here and speaking about such a great personality. In fact, there are so many wonderful Vaishnavas sitting in this audience who are much more qualified to speak on this aspect. I am forced to speak, that's why I am sitting here. But then, because you are asked to speak something on behalf of the authorities, when you speak, definitely the potency, I suppose, may come. I just want to touch upon some aspects from the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As I was mentioning here, like when Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, the situation was like that. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is mentioning, evam parampara pratam imam brarshaya rajarshaya vedu. Sa kalineha mahatan yoga nashta parantava. He says, in the parampara system, I instructed all this knowledge. But in due course of time, you know, with the influence of time, then what happens, this appears to be lost. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually appeared, he actually appeared in the year 1838. When he appeared, that time the situation was like that. Like people had forgotten the real knowledge which was propagated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his descendants. In fact, there are so many upper sampradayas which had come out during that time. And the real essence, the essence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy was totally concocted. So many, philosophical aspects which were, you know, completely gone into oblivion. People are concocting in the name of religion. And that's the time Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually appeared on this planet. That's the reason he is called as the seventh Goswami, rightly. Because the six Goswamis, they propagated the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in great detail, which was carried down by his disciples and other followers. But then as they were lost, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and re-established these principles and then put them on the highest platform so that people all over and then follow will definitely take advantage of this wonderful teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So all of you are aware about the wonderful qualities and aspects of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I was thinking that I can just touch upon some aspects which I found they are quite useful. Also at the same time, by repeating those, we can also express our gratefulness to him for whatever he has done and appreciate from within the core of our heart. So the one quality of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is about his boldness. I made an acronym of Bhakti Vinod, so there are 12 points, so I'll just try to quickly go through it. I do it because it's easier for me to remember. That's why I do it. So the first aspect is that about his boldness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very bold preacher. In fact, he was a fearless preacher. You all know about the story of Bhishikeshin, that when he was in Puri, in the nearby village called Saradpur, that's the place where Bhishikeshin was there. And he was claiming himself to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu. In fact, he was saying he is Mahavishnu. And why not? Because he had such powers that he would read people's minds. Whoever would come to him, he would read their minds. He would cure them of any ailment. Anybody goes to him for anything, and within minutes, within seconds, it will be cured. And he would get fire out of his head. Well, we may say, like, you know, I may not be attracted, but supposing if I have an ailment and it's very severe and nobody is able to cure it and somebody is there who can cure it, I will go to that person. And if something is miraculous, then I will consider a person to be God also. And that's what happened at that time. Everyone would worship him to be God. I can say this for myself because Before I came to this movement, I was going to one person, my mother and father would take me, who had that power, To that extent, I was told that I was not supposed to be a very intelligent person. And it seems that person gave me that intelligence. He said, you will be able to excel in your studies, you will be able to excel in everything. And since then, I was able to do that. That's what happened. So it was very difficult for me to take this person out of my system, even after coming to the movement. I heard the Krishna conscious philosophy from the devotees, everything. But it was not until His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj was speaking on one day on the appearance of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and was speaking on this particular aspect of bhishikeshan. And see the power, like when you hear from someone who is, has that potency, and then you hear from that, you change. And I was identifying myself with this yogi. And I was thinking, yeah, when Maharaj is speaking, even I'm in that situation. Because Maharaj is saying, can you imagine that what sort of followers he may be having when he is able to cure so much of disease? He can read people's mind, he can foresee the future, and he can also, you know, do anything you want to do. You're considering to be God. I said, yeah, I was considering to be God. But then he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood that, no, this person is not God. He straight away approached him and he said, you know, why are you just become a false imposter? Why don't you just worship Lord Jagannath in a temple? And if you say claim yourself God, why don't you stand next to him? So he said, no. That Jagannath in the temple of Puri is a piece of stone. I am Mahavishnu. I am the master of the universe. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard this, that time he became very angry. And then he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, I want to arrest you because you are an offender to God. Now this, when His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj mentioned, repeated that, that time I understood that this person has so much of conviction, that moment he said that I am God. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned to him that you are such an insignificant soul, you are, cannot be God and no one can be God, and I want to arrest you. That much conviction Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, and that was on the strength of the scriptures. He knew that this person is not God and nobody can be God in this world. Nobody can be equal to God also. How can he claim himself to be God? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, stop all this nonsense or else I'll have to arrest you. But then when he heard that this person, not only he had these powers, but he was misusing his powers to engage in some illicit affairs with some women. And the people in the neighborhood villages were very upset, thinking that something wrong is happening around. Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided that he should arrest. That time the local personality, Ravanshah, he approached Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, please take this in your hand and do something about it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to go next day. And it says that he carried with him almost about 100 policemen with him and 4 guards to catch hold of him. As soon as he came in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in fact, he read out everything what is there in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mind and how many children, whatever he had, what he was doing, everything he read out. But when Bhaktivinoda Thakur went the next day, he said, why have you come to me? He said, I have come to arrest you. He said, you cannot arrest me. He said, I have come to arrest you. He just showed all his form. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not at all impressed by those things. He just told the guard, just catch hold of him. He says, you cannot do this to this, you know, Mahavishnu. He said, just take him away. And then he said, that is said in the scriptures that the Lord protects his devotees' words. So because you want me to come and you, because it's your word, I will protect your word. That's why I'm coming with you to the prison. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took him. Now just imagine, the trial went up for 6 days and thousands of followers outside the court. And on the 7th day, you know, 6 days, on the 5th day and 6th day, the daughter of Bhaktivinoda Thakur fell sick. The school got burnt and everyone knew that it was the work of Bhishikeshan. Anybody else in that situation would have done what? Forget about it. Just release him. Or probably would have been overpowered by the yogic powers and said, maybe he is God, I don't know. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was unmoved. He said, let it happen, let anything happen to my daughter. I'll just go ahead with it. On the seventh day, when the verdict was to be passed, at 10 o'clock, he got a chest pain before. And he was not able to move from his bed. But somehow or the other, Bhaktivinoda Thakur just made something. He was carried on a stretcher to the court because he had to give this final verdict. And then he gave that verdict that he has to be imprisoned for 18 months. And when he was taken out, of course, Bhishikesh said, your entire family was destroyed. But then when he went out, one of the English officers, named Dr. East Walters or something, he said, he knew that some people have these powers in their hair, the yogic powers. So he took a pair of scissors and he cut off his hair from behind. And as soon as he cut off the hair from behind, when he was taken out, suddenly he just fell down and collapsed. And he lost all his powers. And when all the people assembled, when they saw this, they were very much surprised. And they understood that this person, in fact, had no such powers. It was just mystic powers which he had. And Bhishikishan, over a period of time, he just consumed poison. He left his body within the prison house. So when I heard this from His Holiness Bhakti, Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj, at this point of time, I was still thinking that maybe. But then when, after all this happening to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was unmoved, and then when he performed and gave his verdict, then I realized that he said, yes, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like yesterday, when you were dressing, I was hearing a class by Srila Prabhupada. Said that the devotees of the Lord, they may not have power. They may not like to exhibit also. But when the right time comes, Krishna will manifest. Like for example, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Arjun did not have the power. Arjun was an insignificant person. Parikshit Maharaj himself claims that he was in front of all the Maharajis like Bhishma, Dronacharya, and Karna. What power he had to be fighting with them. But Krishna empowered Arjun to fight that battle. That was how Krishna empowered. So Krishna is Yogeshwara. He can empower anyone to do something wonderful. So the devotees don't have to exhibit those powers. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was that empowered personality. When the right time came, he was empowered by the Lord. That's why pranam mantra, Gaura Shakti Swarupaya, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Namine, Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varahayate. A very, very strong follower and strict follower of the Rupa Goswami's teachings. So here we find that how he was a bold preacher. In fact, another instance where, there was a Brahma Rakshasa who was residing under a tree, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to also given that task. He just made one Brahmana to just recite Bhagavatam under the tree for 1 month, and after 1 month you find that the ghost had to leave that place. And that evident by the branch of the tree falling off from the tree, main trunk. So we see how Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very bold preacher. He was very, very adept in hearing. That's the second point. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana ever since a childhood. He was not interested in sports. He was always interested in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis and Ramayana. And his favorite characters were Bhima and Hanuman. He would always love hearing Hanuman traveling to Lanka to release, to meet Sita and killing of a demoness Simika or subduing the demoness Simika. So that was what he had. He was always very, very eager to hear. Even so much to that extent that, he had some guards outside because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was born at his maternal grand uncle's place at Ulagram. And his maternal grand uncle was a very, very rich person. And, the guards over there would regularly tell him stories about, Ramayana and Mahabharata and other places. In fact, whenever his father would be there, he would go to his father's place and then hear from him also. So he was very attentive to hear about the glorious pastimes of from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana, especially Ramayana. So that's what he would do. The third aspect is about attachment to the holy name. In fact, right from the childhood, he developed that attachment or faith in the holy name. And one instance was there where another guard, Officer Naff, he was a knight guarding. And he was once upon a time in an army. And, you know, it said that accidentally he beheaded his guru's head. And because of which, he was very scared. And somebody told him that he should chant the names of Lord Ram. So every time he would be chanting the names of Ram there. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be very, very impressed by his taking shelter of that name. And it said that once, you know, like he heard that there is some ghost in a neighboring village. And that because of the ghost, nobody would enter that. But he at the same time, he wanted to get those star apples. But said, somebody, ghosts are there. You will not be able to. But he knew from his ancestor, mother, grandmother, that, you know, chant the name of Ram, nothing will happen. So he would chant the names of Ram and would go just to see whether the ghost is there or not. And the ghost would run away. He would never find any ghost there. So much to the extent that, you know, there was one sacrificial fire building where regularly yagyas would be done. And somebody said that there is a ghost there. Please help. And he went there, he started chanting the names of Ram and the ghost ran away. Ghost went away. So much faith he had in the holy name at that time also. And of course, that same culture, you know, came up when he grew up and then he had that strong faith in the holy name. Udila Aruna Purava Vagi says, Namakicha, you know, Naiko Ara Chauda Bhuvana Maja. In the 14 worlds, there is nothing so great than the holy names of the Lord. So many places he's just chanting, he's just inducing everyone to chant the holy names of the Lord. That much faith he had right from the childhood. So that's the way. Then the fourth aspect is K, that's knowledge of the Shastra. He was very knowledgeable. In fact, right from the childhood, whenever he would hear anything in the school also, he was promoted to higher standard, much more than his age. And he was such a scholar that during that time, the British, you know, the professor, he was so happy with him. He would always excel in studies, especially English, he said. And then after some time, he would just be, you know, reading some literatures here and there, trying to find out, you know, the source, everything. So he was a scholar right from that time, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So knowledge of the Shastras was deep-rooted in his heart. And the T is that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur grew up, of course you can imagine that such was his scholarly nature when he became a district magistrate. The British government was so much after him to engage him, you know, to be engaged in their service. Like wherever you would want, he would be given that post to be there as a district magistrate. He would be transferred from one place to another place just to get some things done. You know, at one place, like he was transferred to Puri because there were some problems. The deity worship over there was not going on very smoothly. Some unscrupulous elements were trying to just misuse that power. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there. He was able to even solve that problem. Some place there are bandits, and they were causing so much of harassment to the local people. He was posted there and he solved that problem also. So there are different places Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be taken. So that's why he was in great demand by the British at that time. So time, T is, you know, he was time conscious. It is said that he would always carry a pocket watch in his, he would carry a watch, you know. And he would always do everything on scheduled time. And that's one thing which I don't do it. I remember once His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu gave us a time management seminar. And very nice to think over it. He said that if you are, you know, 5 minutes late, then you'll find that everything else following it will be delayed. If you're 5 minutes earlier, then everything will be on time. And he gave an example, just like you're leaving the house at 7 o'clock. When you leave the house is, the roads are empty. But you leave 10 minutes later, then you find from other lanes, some other cars are coming out. From the further down the road, then other cars come. Then you find there's traffic ahead. Then you get later and late afterwards. So he said that if you are right on dot, then everything falls into place. And this I also realized when I'm in time at my practice, clinical practice, then everything falls in time. If I'm 10 minutes late, then I don't know, some other, the subsequent appointments are delayed. I don't know how it happens, but then maybe, you know, when you're working, you realize that the patient, you are late, and somebody, I have only 15 minutes for this patient, somebody else may be coming. By the time somebody else comes, you are tensed, and you know, so many things. But if you are on time, then you find that you have enough time for the next person also. Something is magic. You can try it for yourself. But, you know, there are certain people in this place, and especially Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Srinathji Prabhu, you call them anytime, they are 5 minutes before time. They're right on time, you know. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like that. Being a grihastha with so many responsibilities, once his gray holiness, Sridhar Swami Maharaj was saying that grihastha means so much of anxieties. And he said that it's not that, you know, brahmachari means you have to deal with only one set of body, mind, senses. Grihasthas means if there are five members in the family, you have to deal with five sets of body, mind, and senses. You know, it's so difficult. You have to do jugglery, you know. Like you have to give time to your wife, maybe your time to your children, time to profession, this, that. So many aspects around, so many, you know, responsibilities. But in spite of all these things, as a grihastha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a responsible officer. He was a district magistrate. That means so much of load on his head. At the same time, you know, he had 10, 11, I think, somewhere I heard it's 11 or he had 12 children.
How many?
13 children. He had 13 children. Now to even manage one or two, it feels time jata hai. I don't know how the time goes. But there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had 13 children and he says, when I go home, Je dine grihe deke goloka bhaiya. When I go home, I find that my house is Vaikuntha. Somebody else with 13 children, they'll think that the house is like a playground or something like that, you know, or like a market place. But for him, he thinks that when I go home, my house is like Vaikuntha. Now, this person is able to manage everything. How he is able to manage, I don't know, but then this is how he was able to manage. But definitely, I am sure that because he was, you know, doing everything on schedule, maybe that's why. So he was very much time conscious, always carried that pocket, you know, watch. Like we also carry, but then we don't, you know. Like there was a phrase, no, earlier there was no watch, but they had all the time in the world. Now we have watch, but no time. Everyone carries watches, but there's no time. But earlier there was no watches, but there was time for everyone. So he would carry that watch with him. You can imagine that time they were not wearing watches also, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur would have a pocket watch with him, you know. So the fifth point is I. That means, you know, when he was in his court, his judgment would immediate judgments. Like so excellent in his judgment that within 5 minutes he would read a case, and in 5 minutes he would just give the judgment. And the people who were being convicted, they would appreciate it, they accept this verdict. Means how you can imagine, there was no questions asked. Somebody else would take days or months, probably more than few hours. Bhaktivinoda Thakur just would read and would say, okay, I hereby order that so-and-so, 6 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever is there. In 5 minutes. So whenever you would be in this court, just imagine how many cases you would be solving. And such a relief for the government, especially the British government, that when you would solve such problems, you know. So this was his expertise in his field, in his work, job, where he was able to solve problems within few minutes. And it was not out of, you know, like spontaneity, but you would understand the whole thing. You would put all his energy into it. And, you know, and then give his verdict. and that verdict would be accepted by those who are found guilty. So that was the effect that Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually had at that time, influence. V is voluminous literatures. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he retired from his active life, he actually wrote so many literatures. Even when he was there, when he was working also, he wrote many literatures. Like Kalyana Kalpataru, Sajjana Toshini, all these things he wrote when he was there. But then later on, when he retired, he wrote volumes and volumes of thousands and thousands of literatures. Just making the people understand the glories of Lord Krishna, glories of Lord Chaitanya's movement, importance of Vaishnavas and the shelter of the holy names. All those things Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually expressed through his literatures. In fact, when we read his bhajans, so many bhajans that we read, we just, you know, in nutshells, we just come to the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is here. Everything is there, whatever you need to know. We don't have to go anything beyond Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans also. When if you just understand, you know, if you just see the bhajans that he had written, not only this, but then so many aspects, so many literatures that he wrote, which just understands, makes us understand at what sort of a personality he was. Then, I are the immortal words. It is said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote quite a lot, but the immortal words are in his songs, his bhajans. And one thing which really Prabhupada emphasizes very often in many places is the immortal words which he wrote at the tomb of Haridas Thakur. He reasons ill who say Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still in sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and by living spread the holy name around. And these are such immortal words that whenever a devotee, a Vaishnava departs, you know, this is remembered upon. That he reasons ill, Vaishnavas die, when thou art living still in sound. So Vaishnavas don't leave the body when, why? Because they are living still in a sound incarnation. Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, I am there through this, through my books, in my books. Whatever you need to know to associate, you know, or when you are reading the books written by Srila Prabhupada, you are actually associating with him. You are actually associating the sound incarnation of the Lord, of Srila Prabhupada. So, these are the immortal words. And the bhajans, the prarthanas, the prayers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when somebody meditates on them, they are immortal ones which are just going to inspire each and everyone, are inspiring all of us. N is Namahatta. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually went and decided to find a place of stay after his retirement, he actually chose Godhrum Dweep to be the place of his residence, from where he can start his preaching and write literatures. And here at Surabhi Kunj, he started, you know, Namat, the marketplace. He started preaching the glories of the holy name, and he said that this is a place which is started by Lord Nityananda. And he wrote that famous song, Dalalir Gita, Boro Sukher Khabor Gai, Boro Sukher Khabor Gai. Surabhi Kunjete Name Hatta Kuluche. Koda Nitaya, Koda Nitaya. He says, Lord Nityananda himself has started his marketplace here. Very wonderful song. Very. Dasture Loibhame Shuddhabhya Naam. Nityananda Prabhu is saying that just with one Shraddha Moli Shuddha Naam, Siyate De Bikai. The holy name is being sold here at a cost of what? Shraddha Mulya, at a cost of one's faith, little bit of faith. That's all, nothing else. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually made his place of residence here in Godhrum Dweep, and he started his Namahatta and preached the glories of the holy name through this particular place actually. And this place later on, you know, became so famous, everyone comes there, and that's called as Kirtan Sthan in Shridham Mayapur. Then O is his organizational skills. As I was mentioning about his daily schedule, that, you know, It said that he would sleep at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10 he would sleep, get up at 10 o'clock, and would rewrite literature till 4. 6 hours he would write literatures without disturbance. 4 o'clock he would take a little nap, then do his chanting from 4:30 till around 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock he will just, you know, answer some correspondences, and after answering some correspondence, 7:30 he would just meet some people. There were many people who would meet him, you know, from all walks of life. So he would just talk to them, answer them. If there's no time, if there is enough time after that also, he would just read more. He would read literatures during that time till around 9:30, and that time he would take a little nap. And then after that, he would take a quick bath and then have some two rotis. It seems in the morning he would take some fruit, milk, and some few things. I don't know what. Some chapatis. Yeah, he took two chapatis. Two chapatis, fruit and milk he would take a little bit. In 10 minutes, he would finish that. And 9:55, he would leave his house and reach his office at 10 o'clock. And from 10 to 1, he would work in the court. He would solve almost about at a rate of 5 minutes per decisions. You can say how many? Maybe 150, 180 cases he would complete. 1 o'clock he would come back home, and he would take some little rest. Reach back again at 2 o'clock sharp, 2 to 5. And 5 o'clock he'll come back home, and then be with the children for some time, and then around 6:30, just, you know, sing some bhajans and have a little nap, eat something, and then, short nap, eat at 6:30, then later on, again read, 8 o'clock, sleep. And this you do regularly, every day, without fail. And that's how he would actually lead his life. That was a schedule of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You know, he discovered the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, actually. He discovered the birthplace. In fact, during that time, the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya was declared by someone to be some other place. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew from the Shastra that that was not the birthplace. Because according to Shastra, the birthplace was on the eastern side of the Ganges. And people are worshipping Lord Chaitanya's birthplace to be on the western side. And on inquiry, he found that the place which was called the birthplace was actually just established only 100 years. People were just staying only 100 years before, that's all. It was only 100 years old that was inhabited. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was going through so many literatures just to find where the birthplace is there. And then it seems from his rooftop, from Rani Dharmashala, from the place where he was staying at Navadvip, he found that some glowing light at one place. And he went there, he found that so many tulsis growing there in that place. And then this was confirmed in the Shastra from Sajjana Toshini, which says this verse. I have not memorized this verse, I have to repeat it. Navadvipa Madhya Mayapura Name Sthana Yathahe Janmile Gaurachandra Bhagavan. Navadvipa Madhya Mayapura Name Sthana Yahaita Janmile Gaurachandra Bhagavan. And then he understood that this is the place where Lord Chaitanya actually appeared. But then how do you prove that? So he knew that Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, who was pure soul, only he can do this job. Only he can reveal that. But he was 120 years old at that time. And bent, he would not even be able to walk. So he was requested by Jagannath Babaji Maharaj, requested by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to come there and reveal that birthplace. And his servant, Bihari, had to get him in a basket over there. And as soon as he was kept there, suddenly started jumping up so high that somebody could see his soul also. So high he would jump. And then he would jump, he would say, Eito Nimaya Janma Bhumi, Eito Nimaya Janma Bhumi, you know. He went to an ecstasy, Jagannath Das Babaji. And that is time when Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood that this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And then he became determined to establish that birthplace and build a temple there. So that's where it comes, determination. He says, determined to. So how did he do for determination? He just declared that I'll go to each and everyone's house in Calcutta and then ask them for only 1 rupee. And the Amrita Bazar Patrika, that a local newspaper, when they heard this, they just printed in their newspaper that, please, this is a district magistrate coming here. He is going to approach each and everyone. Please give him one rupee, everyone, as a donation. He did not ask much. He said only 1 rupee from each person, each house. And with that 1 rupee collected from everyone, he just built that place. And when that place was excavated, there was a deity of Adoksha Vishnu which they recovered from there. And this was Adoksha Vishnu worshipped by the parents of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Mishra and Sachideva, worshipping the Ajitu. So it again proved that this is the actual birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And then later on, he established Vishnupriya, Lord Chaitanya, everyone in this. So present Yogpeet was where you know Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually spent years to just build that place. But how? By just collecting 1 rupee from each and every one of the householders from Calcutta. That was his, you know, intense determination actually, and dedication. Once he did that, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he actually dedicated his life in preaching the glories of the holy name at that place. And then the last one is, he envisioned the future. He is the one who actually envisioned what is going to be the future coming up. He wrote in his book, Sajjana Toshini, and it said that, I repeat that, he said it predicted that when will that date come when the fortunate English, the Russians, the Persians, the Americans, the French will take up the banners, the mridangas, the kartals here in Mayapur and raise kirtans to the streets and towns. When will that date come? When will they chant Jai Sachinandan ki Jai, Jai Sachinandan? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually predicted that a day will come when the Russians, the Americans, everyone will come here and chant the glories. There will be kirtan. Now you see, now we find that everything is, chalta, kirtan chal raha hai. But during that time, it was not so easy to understand that fact. Just imagine, 200 years back, when somebody would say like that, in the future, somebody will come like this, people would not have believed that. Because preaching was not so much at that time. Now we know, just a casual, you know, in the West, oh, they are doing in the streets, and here they're doing kirtan in the streets. But you do not know how glorious it is to see that the kirtans are happening on the streets in the Western world. Forget about that. People are coming from those parts, come to India, come to the land of Navdeep, Mayapur, and then chant the holy names, which was unheard of 200 years back. Nobody would have imagined that would happen, and now it's happening. The Russians, the Chinese, everyone is coming here. So this is the thing which he predicted. And then he said also that in the future, a personality will come who will preach these teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And unrestrictedly, he will preach. He will move all over the world giving this message. A senapati will come. So when Prabhupada heard this, Prabhupada actually spoke about his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Sasa Thakur. He said, my spiritual master is that senapati who actually preached the message. And we are just his servants and we are preaching the glories all over the world. So out of humility, Prabhupada said like that. And we all know who is the one who went also to the West. Prabhupada, on the order of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Sasa Thakur, actually went to the West. And he actually induced everyone to chant the holy names all over the world. So he actually empowered by the acharyas to do something which no one has ever done. No one has ever done. So that is the real contribution of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually re-established the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Not only that, he predicted what's going to happen for all of us, because otherwise, if it was not for Srila Prabhupada, probably none of us would be here sitting and chanting the holy names. We would be all doing some work somewhere in our own world. Somebody would be doing some job, somebody will be pursuing some profession, somebody will be in a household work, engaged in some making some money or something else, if not for Srila Prabhupada. So all credit goes to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur for that. Because such was his strong desire that the glories of the holy name be spread all over the world, he actually said that time should will come when this personality will appear and will spread the holy name all over the world. He'll spread this message unrestrictedly all over the world. And when a pure devotee says that, the Lord has to accept that. The Lord has to, you know, accept that request of that pure devotee. And not only that, the pure devotee is also empowered to perform that Herculean task, because nothing happens without Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Pravartana, right? That's what the verse says. Without the Shakti of Krishna, Krishna Shakti, you cannot do anything. So one understands that, you know, that how insignificant we are, and by only the mercy of the previous acharyas that we can really do something. So on this auspicious day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance, we can only pray that we can get some drops of that enthusiasm to just some other to preach and take shelter of the holy name, and have that faith and accept that how insignificant we are, and just by the mercy of the Lord and his dear servants that we can do something. So we just pray that we just become a via media in the hands of our previous acharyas, so that whatever you may do, just engage me in something, make me an instrument to do, you know, let me be a puppet in your hands, as Srila Prabhupada always prayed before he went to America. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. In fact, for Grahasthas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a ray of hope. You know, when you see that he is coming in a line and he is one of those prominent personalities, and he is a Grahastha also. Nobody can say when he looks at him that I cannot do it also. He has done everything which, you know, gives us impetus to do something. If we can, you know, we should do something for it. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Bol. Granthana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai.